All right, let's take our Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 24. Acts, chapter 24. I was on a phone call Friday night with pastors all over America. A lot of pastors call in every night at 8:30 to a specific number. And the fellow that's running this prayer call got a hold of me on Thursday of this week and asked me if I would be one of five preachers from around the country who would lead the rest in prayer on Friday night. So I agreed to do that, of course, and was able to pray with men from all over America. And there was only two of them that I actually knew, so it was really a wonderful time. And we were on the phone for about an hour, just praying for revival to sweep our land, and praying for our leaders, and praying for our churches. And so I don't know what's going to come out of all of this, but our prayer is that revival will come out of this. I pray that it does. I want to encourage you to pray that it does. I'm not sure what will happen when we open on June the 7th, but as I said in my announcement, you know, please be careful. Please make the right decision for you and for your family. And you're not going to offend anyone if you choose to ride this out a little bit and see what's going to happen. You know, there's gloom and doom on both sides here about opening and not opening. And if you're uncomfortable, please, you're not going to offend anyone. So you can continue to watch online and stay with us as a church family. You know, we just don't want anyone to put themselves or their family in jeopardy. So if you're experiencing any of these pre-existing conditions, then probably the best advice for you is to be safe and let's see how this thing works its way out. All right, let's look now at the book of Acts, chapter 24, and I would like to begin reading. Let's start with verse 22. It says, "And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, so she was a Jewish gal, his wife, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Now we find out in verse 26 what his motive was. Verse 26 says that he, Felix, hoped that also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room. In other words, Festus replaced Felix. That's a little confusing, but that's what happened, all right? When you're in political office, you normally get someone that will eventually replace you, or at least I wish they'd let me handpick who would get replaced. But anyway, I digress. Festus came into Felix's job. Look at it that way. Felix was out and Festus was in. And Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. All right, we'll stop reading right there. And I want you to look back, please, at verse 25. That will be where I take my text this morning. And I want to speak to you today on this subject, Felix the Fool. Felix the Fool. Let's pray real quick and then the message. Now, Father, we ask your blessings to be upon the Word of God. Touch our hearts with it. Help us to learn. Help us to grow. Help us to be encouraged. And Father, if there is anyone who is listening that is not sure, 100% sure, that they are saved and on their way to heaven, may today be the day that they realize they need the Lord Jesus as their Savior. So bless now, Father. We commit this time to you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. This 24th chapter of the book of Acts contains the account of the Apostle Paul being arrested and thrown in prison in Jerusalem. He was to stand trial to answer the charges against him, facing a fella who was named Felix, who was the governor of Judah. Now, if you remember when the Lord Jesus was taken in Jerusalem from the house of Caiaphas, they took him over to Pontius Pilate. And during the time of our Lord, Pontius Pilate was the governor in Judah. But he did not stick around very long after he condemned the Lord Jesus to die on Calvary's cross. Now, there is a lot of tradition, Jewish tradition, that says that that Pontius Pilate literally lost his mind, and that he was so troubled and had such agony over crucifying an innocent man, murdering an innocent man, and so he was eventually exiled out to some island somewhere, and died, taking his own life because of his illness. Now, by the time that you get to this passage, we see a fella as governor of Judah whose name is Felix. And the Apostle Paul now is very well known. Everybody in Jerusalem knows who Paul is. So when the date of his trial came, even the governor's wife, Drusilla, a Jewish gal, came in to hear Paul explain himself to her husband. And when this trial was explained by Luke in this 24th chapter, it revealed Felix as being a fool of the highest order. Folks, let me remind you that the psalmist says, in a few places in the Psalms, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, if you go back to Psalm 14, verse 1, you will see that the words there is are in italics in that verse. The there is, now let me say it again, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Well, that there is in italics. And when you, let me explain to you why there are certain words in your King James Bible that are in italics. When you translate from one language to another, it is often difficult to get an exact translation because what is in one language may not make sense in another language that you are translating to. So when this happened in the King James Bible, either with Hebrew to English or with Greek to English, whenever this happened, the translators would put the words in italics in order to make the sentence a complete thought. And they would italicize those words to help us to understand what the thought was. And when they did that, they always used those italicized words. So if you look at Psalm 14:1, where David said, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God," you will see something that is quite amazing. First, look at it this way. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. In other words, David is saying that an atheist is a fool. An atheist is a fool. But then look at it this way. Let's take the italicized words, there is, take that completely out. And you have another way to look at it. The fool has said in his heart, no God. In other words, no God. I'm not listening to what you are saying. I'm not hearing your voice. I want nothing to do. No God. That's the idea. So the psalmist is saying that the person who says no to God calling that person to salvation is a fool. And that is exactly what Felix did on this day. He had perhaps the greatest mind standing in front of him, and he listened to Paul's arguments, but still turned right around and said no to the Lord's call. Folks, how absolutely foolish on the part of Felix to hear Paul's arguments and still say no to the Lord Jesus. Now, I think that there are three little simple things to see here in this 25th verse. And I want to call these three things to your attention this morning. I think these three matters underscore the fact that Felix was a fool of fools. So let's examine these three things this morning. First of all, I want you to see the disturbance of Felix. Look at your verse, please, verse 25. It says here in the middle of the verse that after Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. Right there is his disturbance. I want you to notice that the Apostle Paul stood before Felix and his wife Drusilla and reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. And when Paul reasoned with Felix, we are told that Felix trembled. Now, I did some checking on that little word, trembled. It's an interesting word. Dr. A.T. Robertson, who was a scholar in the last century, wore out 27 Greek New Testaments during his ministry. But he said that this word is telling us that Felix became terrified. All right, he trembled. Have you ever been so afraid that you trembled? Well, that's what happened to Felix when he heard the Apostle Paul reasoning with him about the judgment that was to come. And I wonder what would make Felix so terrified after hearing about the judgment that is coming upon this world. Well, let me tell you a couple of things here about Felix. Let me tell you a few things that we have learned about Felix and about his wife, Drusilla. First, I want you to look back at verse 3 in this chapter. If you look back in verse 3, verse 2 and 3, you will see that there was a lawyer whose name was Tertullus. All right, his name was Tertullus. And this man was brought in kind of like a prosecutor, and it was his job to convince Felix that Paul should remain in jail or should be executed. He was the lawyer for the prosecutor. All right, so Tertullus came in, and when he walked in, look at verse 3. This is what he said. He said, "We accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness." Now, most noble Felix? Seriously? I mean, you know, I don't think there's a whole lot of noble about this man's character. Tertullus had been brought in to give an accusation speech against Paul. He was going to make the case for why the Apostle Paul should be charged. So he introduces himself to Felix by buttering him up and calling him most noble. But folks, the truth is, Felix was anything but a noble man. Truth be told, this man, Felix, was a very cruel, as most of them were, cruel and evil-hearted man. Now, when I tell you a few things about him, you will see why when he stood before Paul and Paul spoke to him about the judgment that was to come, you will understand why he would tremble when Paul spoke to him on that subject. Now, one historian wrote of Felix and told this sad story. After he was appointed by the Romans to be the governor, and once he got established in his position, he very quickly, as many of them did, became a brutal and a cruel man. His wife, Drusilla, was married to the king of a large city called Emesa. E-M-E-S-A, Emesa. You say, well, where was that? I've never heard of that. Well, that was in the southeast corner of Syria. You and I know that city today. It's still a city today, but they don't call it Emesa. They call it the city of Homs, H-O-M-S. And it's in southeast Syria. So previous to her marriage to Felix, Drusilla was married to the king of Emesa. And Felix came along and persuaded her to divorce her king husband and come to Jerusalem to marry him. And so he was guilty of taking this man's wife and taking her back to Jerusalem and marrying her there. And then there is a story about how Felix killed the Jewish high priest, had him assassinated in the city of Jerusalem. Now, there was no explanation given, there's no reason given, but nonetheless, he had the Jewish high priest assassinated in Jerusalem. So, I guess it's safe in saying that Felix was a fool from just about every angle. He was a fool in his rejection of God, but he was also a fool in his conduct. The things that he had done were neither righteous nor temperate. And so it's no wonder that the judgment that Paul was preaching about was something that would have convicted him because of the life of wickedness and sin that this man had lived up to that point. So if you have the Apostle Paul preaching the wrath of God to you, that would no doubt set your heart to trembling. I remember years ago, I had the privilege of hearing some of the great preachers of the last century. I got to hear Lester Roloff preach several times, many times. Got to eat lunch with him. I went to a service one time down in Greenville when I was in college, and he was preaching at the church just down the road from the university, and so I went down every evening to hear Lester Roloff speak. And I remember one night he preached on the wrath to come. The wrath to come. That was the title of his sermon, The Wrath to Come. And I remember sitting on the front row as a young an upcoming student and preacher boy, and I sat there listening to him, and boy, there came over his face a seriousness, and he preached on the judgment and the wrath of God that was coming, and I thought for sure I could smell brimstone burning in that church. It was absolutely amazing, the power that was in that building that night. And so it is sad that this man could sit and listen to perhaps the greatest mind outside of our Lord, the Apostle Paul, and yet reject the grace of God. So it's no wonder in his rejection that instead he trembled in his own soul. And then we learn, on top of all this behavior on his part, the historian Josephus tells us that Drusilla was also unconcerned about spiritual things. And we learn, and this is interesting, I certainly did not know this before I read it this week, but Josephus said that Drusilla and her son, after Felix was off the scene, but Drusilla and her son perished in the volcano eruption of Mount Vesuvius in AD 79. So if you have ever been to Pompeii and around the ruins of that area, somewhere under that lava is the remains of this woman, Drusilla. And it is indeed shameful, folks, how many people just get so wrapped up in living for themselves and they don't have time for the things of the Lord. And one day, just like Felix, one day they are going to hear the voice of the Lord saying unto them, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." So that is the disturbance that we see in Felix. I wonder, have you ever been under that kind of conviction? Have you ever been under such conviction that you literally quaked in your body? Well, Felix was. And the amazing thing is, even though he faced that kind of conviction, he still said no to the Lord Jesus, no to God. Second thing I want us to notice here, I want you to see the delaying by Felix. You see, when he heard Paul's message, he delayed Paul. He put Paul off. And I want you to look at verse 25. It says that Felix trembled and then answered. In other words, he said to Paul, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Now, I want you to notice here the delaying by Felix. I think it's strange that Felix would sit and listen to Paul, and evidently the more he heard, the more fearful he became. But Felix stopped short of trusting the Lord as his Savior. Once Felix had heard enough from Paul and the conviction was causing him to quiver, he said to Paul, "Go thy way for this time." And he decided to delay his dealing with God. Think about that, folks. He decided to delay his dealing with God. Now, it's obvious the governor was under a great deal of conviction. If you are trembling with guilt because of the wicked way you have lived your life and because of the wicked things that you have done in your life, that is quite obviously the Holy Spirit of God convicting your heart. I have seen people tremble with conviction through the years. I've seen them tremble in church. I have seen them, many folks, tremble right here in this auditorium when they come in and hear the gospel preached and the Spirit of God convicts them. And thank the Lord, most of the time when that amount of conviction comes upon folks, out of the seat they come, and we're able to see them come to Christ. I've seen folks step out, walk down the aisle, and tremble as they're coming down the aisle. I have seen them sit down right here in front of me and literally shake with conviction, tears running down their faces. And it's almost like they say, "I've got to get saved now. I've got to pray now," because of the conviction that is upon their souls. But when Felix got under conviction, notice what he did. He delayed the action. He delayed doing anything about it. He didn't take this opportunity to humble himself before Almighty God and repent of all those wicked things that he had done. So why did he react this way? Why in the world would he react this way? Well, I think the answer is this. Felix did not want to deal with the most important matter of his of life at that time. And I'm saying to you that only a fool thinks like that. Only a fool says, "Later. We'll take care of this later. Paul, if I need you, I'll call you. If I change my mind, I will send for you." So why react that way? Well, folks, listen. He just delayed the issue. If you delay it, you don't have to deal with it. And that's what he was thinking. Felix was acting the fool. The Holy Spirit of God tells us very clearly that he said no to the Lord. Felix was acting the fool. Listen, folks, no one gains by putting off eternal issues. No one gains by putting off eternal issues. You know, the Bible says all the way back in the book of Genesis, "My spirit," God speaking here now, and God says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." Have you ever thought about the fact that there may come a time when God withdraws his conviction and withdraws his spirit from speaking to your heart and drawing you to himself? Did you ever think about that? Well, that day could come. As far as I know, I've only seen that one time, as far as I know. But when I pastored down in Dixie, West Virginia, at the Bell Creek Baptist Church, I went to visit, right after I went to the church in the community, a fella, and tried my best to win him to the Lord. And he kept saying, "Oh, Pastor, you know, one of these days, I promise you, I'll get saved one of these days. I definitely want to get saved before I die." And I stayed at that church for 6 years. And I tried over and over and over to win that man to the Lord. And he would come to church at least one night in our fall revival and at least one night in our spring revival. And he would always come to church on Easter Sunday morning. And most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, he would come on Christmas Sunday, whatever was designated as Christmas Sunday. And I would preach, give the invitation. Many times he would raise his hand, pray for me, and then stand back and grab a hold of the pew and hang on and fight the Lord and do his best not to surrender and yield to the Lord. And I kept telling him, "Brother, listen," well, he wasn't a brother, but "you're going to lose your soul if you're not careful here. You're going to lose your soul." "Oh, Pastor, listen, I understand what you're saying, and I will get saved one of these days, I promise." And so time went on, and one day his wife called and said that he had had a heart attack, and he was down at the critical care unit at the hospital. And I drove down to the hospital as soon as I hung up the phone. I drove down to visit him, and when I walked in, he was awake, he was conscious, and I tried to get him to trust the Lord, and I reminded him how many times he said to me that he was going to get saved before he died. And I told him that that day could be today. "You have had a serious heart attack." And so I tried my best to win him to the Lord as he lay in that hospital bed. And with tears running down his eyes, out of his eyes, he said, "I can't. I can't." And that man died later that night. And as far as I know, he went right straight to hell because he refused to deal with the Lord. I'm telling you, folks, delay leads to destruction. Delay leads to destruction. My friend, if you have not trusted Christ as your Savior, there is no time like today. There is no time like right now. Procrastination leads you to perdition. And for all eternity, let me remind you. You know, folks, it's just insane to put off losing the misery of sin so that you might gain the blessings of salvation. It just doesn't make sense. And sadly, though, there are too many folks exactly like Felix. He said, "Go thy way, Paul, go thy way." And then notice, he kept Paul in jail for 2 years. But it was only a couple of years after this that Felix died of tuberculosis. He died of tuberculosis. Can you believe that? But he died of tuberculosis. Have you not heard the old adage that says, "The road to hell is paved with good intentions"? And certainly Felix had, or at least he said, he had good intentions. Sadly, though, he never fulfilled that promise. Felix never found a convenient day to come to Christ. And then thirdly, I want you to see the delusion of Felix. You see, the truth of the matter here is Felix made a huge mistake. A huge mistake with this delusion that was fed to him by the devil. You say, well, Pastor, what was his delusion? Well, his delusion was that he could wait for a convenient time in order to get saved. Dear friend, listen, none of us have a guarantee for tomorrow. None of us. And again, only a fool thinks success is built on convenience. But that was exactly what Felix thought. And I will call on you, Paul, when it is convenient. And isn't it strange that the devil made sure that there was never a convenient season for Felix? Sad. You see, folks, our selfishness now and our lust for life now is something that literally grips the heart of multitudes of people in this world. Oh, I've got plenty of time. That's what they say. I've got plenty of time. I'm going to live it up right now, but I'm going to enjoy things right now. And one of these days, Pastor, one of these days, I'm going to call on the Lord and ask him to save me. But when it's convenient, when it's convenient. Convenient for who? Well, of course, convenient for me. That's how we are. Folks, if you are waiting for a convenient day to get saved, I can promise you the devil is going to make sure convenience never comes to your life. Oh, think about it for just a moment. No war has ever been won by convenience. No athlete excels because of convenience. No student gets straight A's because of convenience. And let me tell you that no soul, not one soul, will ever get to heaven because of convenience to take care of spiritual matters. Folks, there's no time like now. And the truth is, you can end up waiting forever for a convenient season. And that convenient season is a season that will never show up. It will never come. Never. So look at verse 26 and notice what Luke tells us in the next verse. In verse 26, we read that he hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul that he might loose him. Wherefore, he sent for him the oftener. So he just kept calling Paul, come on back in here. How often, it does not say, but it just says that he was hoping, with Paul being locked up, that Paul would get fed up and offer him some money so that he could be set free. Well, there's one thing he didn't take into consideration. Paul didn't have any money. If Paul got money, he gave it away. That's what we learn from the scriptures. And for 2 years, Felix kept Paul in jail, hoping that Paul would offer him a bribe so that he could be set free. But Paul did not have the money, and he was not in a position where he could offer Felix money. So for 2 years, Felix strung the Apostle Paul along. Now, how often did he bring the Apostle Paul in to hear more? I don't know. We don't know. But this I do know. I know that Felix's convenient season never came. Felix never, never found a convenient time to hear the Lord and repent of his sin. His day of convenience never came. Think about it. He lived and he died with the best of intentions, but he never found a convenient time to address his spiritual condition. And folks, here's the sad thing. If Felix had bowed his sinful head and sinful heart before God and had Felix said, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I believe that you have risen from the dead, and I believe that you are the Savior who died for me, and I now trust the Lord Jesus. I accept Christ into my heart. If he had done that, Felix would be in heaven today. So his convenient season never came. Now, look carefully at verse 27 and I'll close. Look at verse 27. It says, but after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. He kept him in prison, in other words. So 2 years passed, and if the historians are true, Felix contracted tuberculosis and died an agonizing death. Now remember, back 2,000 years ago, there were no ventilators, and there were not antibiotics and all these things, these tuberculosis vaccines and all that. I remember going down to the Baptist church in our little area where we lived, and getting that tuberculosis vaccine. I remember getting that when I was about 6 years of age, and they didn't have that back then. And so 2 years had passed, and the tragedy of this whole matter is that Felix never found in 2 years. That's eight seasons. Think about it. Winter, spring, fall, summer. Eight seasons. And you would think out of eight seasons, Felix could have found one convenient season. But no, he did not. 2 years. 2 years. And then Felix got sick, and he was replaced by a fellow named Festus. And once Felix was replaced, think about it. He never again had the opportunity to hear the gospel from the Apostle Paul. And as far as we know, Felix died outside of the grace of God. That would certainly make Felix one of the most notable fools this world has ever known. Now, folks, let's look inward at ourselves for just a moment. If you do not know 100% for sure that you are saved and on your way to heaven, let me ask you this question. How many times do you have to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ before you say, I'm going to trust Christ as my Savior? Let me ask you, dear friend, what are you waiting to happen before you trust Him? When will be your convenient season? Do you think that you have weeks or years or maybe decades to make the decision to trust the Lord as your Savior? Well, let's go back to Felix for just a moment. What if you only have 2 years like Felix had? Or what if you do not even have 2 years? What if you only have 2 weeks? Or what if you only have 2 days? You see, Felix played the fool in the way he dealt with all of this. How could a man listen as intently as he did and feel the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to the place where he literally trembled at the fear of one day having to face God Almighty and give an account for his long list of horrible sins? How could that man reject the grace of God? Well, I'll tell you how he could do it. He rejected the grace of God the exact same way that you have rejected that same grace. So, my dear friend, I beg you not to wait for a convenient season, because I'm telling you, the devil is going to make sure that convenient season, that day, never comes. If you're listening to me this morning and you're not 100% sure that you're saved and on your way to heaven, there is going to be about a 3 or 4 or 5 minute, I'm not sure how long it is, but short message after I go off the air, after we turn the live stream off. There will be a message that will follow. Just takes a few minutes of your time. And if you would listen to that message, I explain to you how you can trust the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. I'm telling you, dear friend, today is your convenient day. So listen to that. And if you will call upon the name of the Lord and ask the Lord to be your Savior, I want you to let us know about it. Email us, let us know, call the church, leave us a message, whatever you want to do. But let us know that you got saved. We can send some information to you to help you get started in your Christian life. But thank you for listening this morning, and I hope that you will never forget the message, Felix the Fool. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for the Word of God. And I pray that you will bless what's been said. I pray that no one listening this morning will play the fool and look for a convenient season. The Scriptures are clear. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the perfect time. And so, Father, help every person listening to look inward and ask themselves if they know for sure they're going to heaven. And Father, if they don't know for sure, may today be the day that they get that assurance. I pray that you will stir the hearts of Christians, help us to see the importance and the value of telling others about Jesus. And Father, bless the message to our hearts. I pray you'll give us a great afternoon. Bring us back this evening at 6, ready for another message from God's Word. And Father, bless our folks. Keep our folks safe and healthy, and we'll give you the praise and glory for it all. In Christ's name, amen.